Well, amen. Praise God. Folks love each other around here, and when you get them started, they don't quit real easy. So I love that. But let me say again, what a joy and a delight to have all of you here tonight, and you are in for a treat. I have the privilege of introducing to some of you, may or may not know Pam. I've been thinking about it, and I think years ago I kept hearing ripplings. I just get a little tidbit of, there's this woman up around Tennessee. She's on fire for Jesus. Have you met Pam? I said, oh, I hadn't met her. Well, I'll tell you what, she's on fire for Jesus. And come to find out, God brought her here, and now she's heading up our ministry outreach. And Pam Matthews is a woman that's in love with Jesus. She's got the fire of God in her. And y'all just pray that God will stir her up. I'll tell you what, don't you love it? I just love that about Pam. And you're going to get to hear her tonight. So I'll tell you what let's do. Let's stand up a minute. And let's pray for her. And then give God a God bless you for this precious lady. Father, thank you for Pam, for the call on her life, for the anointing, for her passion for Jesus, and Lord, for her love for people. Lord, she, as you well know, is pursuing your kingdom with all her heart. Would you bless her tonight as she shares the word of the Lord in Jesus' name? Amen. Put your hands together. Welcome, Pam, would you?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Doc. Praise the Lord. I'm honored to be here to be sharing the word with you tonight. And I prayed. I was like, Lord, what do you want to say to the people? What do you want to say? And I felt like he said, I want you to release that I am raising up an end-time army full of faith and obedience. And I said, all right, Lord. And then I had this impression that he wanted me to wear army fatigues. And I was like, Lord, I don't have any army fatigues. And I said, but nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And so I called my friend and I said, listen, I need some kind of a camouflage shirt or something. Do you have something? I'm supposed to wear it for to preach Wednesday night. And she went and looked, and she said, the only shirt that I have that even is something like an army shirt says, the army of the Lord. And I was like, well, praise the Lord, then that's the one. But anyways, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the honor to be able to release your word tonight, dear God. It's always an honor to stand, dear God, in somebody's pulpit and be able to just release what you have to say to the people. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. I thank you for the end time army that you are raising up, dear God, in these last days, full of faith and obedience, dear God. Ones that know who they are in Christ Jesus. They know their identity. They know their authority. They know their inheritance. And they know how to be intimate with you, Jesus. And so, Lord, right now, God, I just ask you, let this word, dear God, go forth and pierce hearts, dear God. Lord, raise up an army of people on fire, full of the Holy Spirit, dear God, and full of faith and obedience. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 4 says, endure hardness or suffering as a good soldier. Do not, don't get entangled or tied up in the affairs of life so that we might please the one having enlisted us. That we would please the one who has enlisted us. Do not get tied up in the affairs of the civilian affairs of this earth. Do you know, I see so many people, and I've been dealing with it myself, so many people that are going through things with their families. And I'm telling you, we can get so tied up in our feelings, in the things that are going on with our families, in the things that are going on in this earth, that we forget that we are to set our affections on the things above and not the things of the earth. Listen, I know it hurts. I know there's things that can really almost make you feel paralyzed. at times because things that are going on in our lives. But listen, we have a God that knows everything that we are going through. God, do we really believe what God's word says? God's word says that all things work together of those that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. You know, a lot of times I know people could probably look at me and I get so excited about God, they're probably thinking there's nothing going on in that girl's life. That girl has nothing going on in her life. Everything has to be together for her. But let me tell you something, everything's not together. But I have this is my inheritance through Christ Jesus, the last will and testament that Jesus Christ left on this earth, and ain't no devil in hell gonna stop me from it. We are soldiers in the army of God, and we've got to get a hold of this word, and we've got to make a decision that it doesn't matter what happens in my life. It doesn't matter what's going on in my body. It doesn't matter what's going on with my children. I am going to go and I'm going to believe God's word. I'm going to mix faith with his word. I'm going after it and I'm going to possess it. Do you know when I first got saved, I was so bound up in addiction. I was so bound up with trauma. I was so bound up with fear and anything else you could name. But when I opened up that word of God and I read where it said, he sets the captives free. You know, I wasn't free for a long time, but I kept saying, God, I'm putting you in remembrance of your word. You set the captives free. And I did not stop. And it took years, but I finally saw him set the captives free in me. Listen, many times we want to do great exploits for God, and I know all of us do, but sometimes we have a hard time governing this old thing right here between our ears. We have a hard time governing. And tonight, I want us to realize that we don't have to be pulled around by the nape of the neck, by the old devil, by every feeling that comes on us. Listen, because earlier in prayer, the Lord reminded me that he stripped Satan of his powers, and he paraded him around openly and made a spectacle of him. And he doesn't have no power over us that we don't give him. He has no power over us except for the power that we give him. And right here between our ears, so many times, I'm telling you, it will keep us in such a bondage. It will keep us so tied up. And maybe I'm not talking to you, but God was talking to me because of some things that I had been going through. Let me tell you, I just came out of a season. I didn't know if I was going to share this, but I'm going to. One of the hardest seasons that I'd ever walked through in my life, I just walked out of. Now, I've got a son in jail for murder and all kinds. So I've been through some hard seasons is what I'm trying to tell you. I've been through a lot. But after I come out of ministry school, 2 years of ministry school, and I'm not name dropping, but I'm just telling you what happened. Patricia King, I was her, her assistant when she came to the school. Long story short, she connected me with Todd White. I accepted a job with Todd White as director of prayer. And then all of a sudden, my daughter was pregnant, the one that had been on drugs, and she went to jail. And the Lord said, here I'd, all my life, I'd been practicing, you know, like 3 years in ministry school. I'm ready to see what God has for me. And all of a sudden, God says, I want you to go home and take care of that baby. I want you to go home and take care of your baby, of your daughter's baby, because she was going to lose him. She was in jail, and she was going to be, they were going to put him in a foster care. They were going to adopt him out. And the Lord said, go home and take care of the baby. And listen, faith and obedience. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what I want to do. It's what the Lord says to do. So I said, okay, God, I was only there for a month or two, and I put my resignation in, and I said, I've got to go home. I'm going home to take care of my grandbaby. People were like, what are you talking about? You're going home to take care of your grandbaby. You just accepted a position with a worldwide ministry as the director of prayer, and you're going to walk away from it? I said, yes, I am. Because I am going to do what God has told me to do. It doesn't matter what it looks like to anybody. It doesn't matter if I understand it or not. I'm doing what God's called me to do. I made my plans. I came home. Ended up bringing him, Christian. He was born April the 6th. I brought him home from the hospital as a newborn, as my baby.
I knew he was my grandchild, of course, but I was his mother because my daughter wasn't allowed to be around him or anything. She had some things she had to do to prove herself. I kept him 3 months. I kept him 3 months. He went through colic. I'm talking, crying. I would sit there in the house, and I couldn't even go out of the house. Listen, I was all by myself. I had no help. You know, I had this image that I had this team of people. I had this village that was going to help me, but when I got home, there was no help. But that was okay because I still said, God, I don't understand it, but I'm doing it. I would sit there and I would look out the window and I would cry and I would be like, man, I would love to go for a walk. It was one of the hardest seasons I'd went through. Long story short, after having him 3 months, I get a phone call and they say, you have to take him to the Department of Children's Services tomorrow and surrender him because of your past. Because I had a child that was taken to the Department of Children's Services custody and that was still on my record from 24 years ago. And they said, take him and surrender him. And I'm going to tell you something. I hit the floor and I began to weep and I began to cry. And I said, God, you sent me back to take care of this child. What is going on? But I'm going to tell you something. That almost, I felt the same thing that I felt when I found out about my son when he shot somebody and killed him. At that moment, it was like, okay, are you going to go after God harder or are you going to turn away from God and let everything just, you know, because the enemy was like, oh, that's a great God, isn't it? Yeah, look, you're serving him with everything that you've got. Now look what's happening. Now, you know, this happened to your son and then this happened to this baby. God's taking this baby away from you and what's going on? And I'm telling you, it was the hardest thing I'd ever been through. But you know what? I had to make a decision right there. I don't understand this, and I don't know what's going on, but all I know is that I'm going after God with everything that is within me. I'm not sitting down. I'm not shutting up. I'm not backing up, and I'm going to go harder after the Lord than I ever did. And I'll tell you, he ended up, we thought they were going to put him in a foster home. He's been gone for 6 weeks now, but he is with his daddy's brother and his wife. And I'll tell you what, we cannot let anything, y'all, no matter what it is. You know, I can't remember when I had my children when I was young. I was on drugs and stuff. So there was a love that I had for this baby that I had never experienced before. I say this baby, he was my grandbaby. I loved him so much. But I'm telling you what, it was so painful. I laid in that floor and cried. But you know, the Lord showed me Moses. And when Moses' mother took him out to the Nile River, or his sister, and said he was 3 months old. This is how old Christian was. And they had to say, okay, here he is. I don't know where he's going, but I trust you. But I trust you. So I just want to tell you, I don't know what is going on with your family or what's going on. We can't let anything stop us. We can't let the affairs of this earth entangle us so much that it paralyzes us. Because I'm telling you, I was paralyzed for a couple weeks almost. It felt like, I mean, I had to get my footing. But I'm just going to tell you right now, there is an end-time army that is raising up that we're not going to let anything stop us. Nothing will stop us. Listen, what does it mean to endure hardness as a good soldier? It means we are single focused. A soldier on duty keeps his mind on the mission. Listen, we have a mission here on this earth, and we have to keep our mind on that mission. We have to have faith, knowing that God is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. We have to be single focused. We have to avoid distraction. I'm not saying this baby, my grandbaby, was a distraction, but after he was gone. I had no control no more. So what do? I can't let it take my focus and distract me from doing what God has called me to do. So I got myself up and I called Pastor Eddie and I said, I'm ready, because I wasn't ready when I first got back. I knew what my assignment was. It was to take care of the baby. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to be single-minded and focused. We avoid distractions. Too many earthly worries or habits can pull people away from their primary spiritual purpose. Listen, we have a purpose in God, and we get too entangled with the things of this earth. We get too entangled. We have to stay free, to remain unhindered by things that trap or weigh down the spirit. Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, or set your affections on the things above at the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above and not on the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with God, with Christ in God. Listen, we got to set our affection on the things above. Set our affections on the things above. I just got back from seeing my son in North Dakota, who's serving out his 20-year prison sentence. And when I got back, my grandson, his son was in jail. So I went up there and saw him. Listen, I've got so many things. I know all of us has got so many things that can be distracting to us. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no, like I said, there ain't no devil in hell going to keep me from what God's called me to do. There's no devil in hell going to keep me from what God has called me to do. I've got a mission. I'm single focused. I'm not going to let no distraction stop me. And I'm going to keep going and keep going and keep going. Listen, when you enlist in the army of God, we've got one that is our commander in chief. And he has told us what to do right here. And too many times, we don't take him at his word. We got a commander-in-chief, and right here in this word, we do what he says to do. Do not worry. How many of you are sitting around worrying all the time? Do not worry. It's a command. Do not worry. Don't take no thought for your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Even the heathens do those things. Too many times we sit around worrying all the time. Worry, worry, worry. No, I'm not going to sit and worry. My father told me something one time. He said, Pam, if you're sitting around worrying all the time, he said, if you can do something about it, do it. If you can't, don't worry about it. And I have decided that I'm going to get a hold of the Word of God, and I'm going to mix faith with what's already been given to me. And if there's something that's going on in my life, I'm going to knock it like a rock and cut it in pieces with the Word of God, because that's what the Word says. Is my word not like a hammer that busts the rock in pieces? Whatever you're going with, whatever's going on in your life, get a hold of a scripture. Get a hold of some scripture and stand on them. Stand on those scriptures and use his word to beat it like a hammer and break the rock in pieces. I can't walk around wringing my hands. Oh, my son's in jail. There's gangs out there. What am I going to do? There ain't nothing I can do from here. There's nothing I can do. But I can say, God, your word says that my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. Your word says that me and my household shall be saved. And we can stand on that word. And that's what I'm going to do. Listen, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do we really realize what that means? Do we really realize that we have got the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in us? Come on, guys. I'm not saying you are or you're not. I don't know what y'all are doing. But I know that God has been dealing with me about Pam. Here it is. Let me read this. Jeremiah 12:5, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they worried you, then what will you do when the Jordan Plain is overflowing? Listen, if we can't even walk with the footmen, how are we going to run with the horses? Okay? Come on. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Elijah. I want to outrun those horses in the name of Jesus. People say, well, you're crazy. Yep, I sure am. I'm crazy for Jesus. I am crazy for Jesus, and if God's word says it, I believe it. I'm going to die trying, even if I don't do it. I'm going to die trying. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as something strange was happening to you. Do you got some stuff going on in your life that you say, oh my goodness, what is going on? Well, listen, if our Lord and Savior suffered the way he did, how can we think that we're not going to go through some things? James 1 and 2, this one you don't ever really see people like a whole lot. Brothers and sisters, when count it all joy when you fall into different troubles. Do you ever do that? Do we ever fall? Okay, yay, I got another trial. Maybe we should take him at his word and begin to try it and see what happens, you know? As soon as my grandbaby left my house, my 29-year-old daughter fell into a situation, no job. She's got a 3-year-old daughter. I have a little bitty 2-bedroom apartment, and they didn't have no place to live, and they moved in with me. I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. Come on. You know what, God? You moved out one, you moved in another. Here we go. It's okay. It's okay. Praise the Lord. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. If the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, then we ought to try to constantly be operating in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Listen, it don't just fall on you. You have to take it. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm taking what's mine. I am going to take what is mine. And everything in this word, especially the New Testament, that, like I say all the time, I say, that is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. That is my inheritance. It is better than if my daddy left me $1 million down at the bank. But if we don't go take it and cash it in, then what good is it? The kingdom of Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in your midst. It's within your reach. Listen, we have to take what is ours. We're not taking it from God. Jesus said it's finished. Jesus done it all. We're taking it from the enemy. Just like the children of Israel had to displace them in their promised land, we got to displace them in our promised land. We've got a whole book of promises here, and we have to take it by force. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I don't know about you, but when I've got something going on in my life, I always, and I say this a lot, so you may hear me say it more than once, I get a hold of a scripture, and we used to raise pit bulls. In fact, sorry, my husband used to fight them, and they used to get a hold of something, and they would rah, and they wouldn't let go. And that's the way we got to be with this word of God. You got to get a hold of the word of God. You got to hold on to it and don't let go. I'm not stopping till it's mine. I'm not stopping till I see it. I'm not stopping till I see it. Praise the Lord. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people are attacking it. That's another translation. The violent are the people who overcome all barriers with great courage to claim God's message, to claim God's promises over their life. The kingdom suffers attacks and only steadfast believers hold on through the struggle. Listen, many people give up through a struggle when there's things that they don't understand. When things happen that they don't, you think I didn't understand? You think I understood how come God would call me out of a I'm telling you, I was going to be making almost $100,000 a year. That was a lot, whole lot of money to me. And God sends me home to take care of my grandchild. And then all of a sudden he's gone. Do you think I understood that? Like, God, how could you let this happen? You know what? I didn't get no answer. But God don't owe me no answer. He don't owe me no answer. He doesn't have to tell me. He just expects me to have faith and obey no matter what comes my way. We don't know what we're we're going to be faced with in these last days, y'all. We don't know. We better get a backbone. We better be able to stand up. We better be able to know that we've got Jesus Christ with us, and we ain't afraid of no devil. We ain't afraid of no trial. We ain't afraid of nothing because we've got Jesus Christ within us. I'm telling you, the only thing I fear is not doing what God's told me to do. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. That's the only thing that I fear. I am not afraid. We cannot be afraid. Do not be afraid. No matter what I'm seeing with my kids going on, no matter what, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to walk around all the time, oh, God, oh, no, no. Come on, guys. Listen, look at the world. Look at what is going on in this world. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But listen, things are looking like they could get pretty bad. And Jesus said they were going to get worse and worse. So we're going to have to rise up as this end-time army that is not afraid to speak the name of Jesus, that will take him at his word, that will do what he tells us to do, that will have faith and obedience in all circumstances, no matter what. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read Joshua. Joshua 1. Can you turn that light down just a teeny tiny bit, please? I can't see good. Joshua chapter 1. Now this is after Moses dies, and God tells Joshua, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he said, but as I was Moses, so am I with you. Can I tell you, just as God was with Moses and just as God was with Joshua, so is he with me and so is he with you. Moses, my servant, is dead. Thou therefore arise and go thus Jordan, thou and all thy people, unto the land which I give to you, even the children of Israel. Listen, they were going in to displace them out of their promised land. This is our promised land. This is, of course, heaven is our promised land. Everywhere the soles of our feet tread, we've got to, you know, here also. But the promises of God, really, this to me is what my promised land is. Right here is where I have my rest, my peace, my joy, my everything, right here. The finished work of Christ. That's what my promised land is. That's what your promised land is. What Jesus Christ paid for. Too many people are walking around with no peace, no joy, never resting. And I don't know about you, but I'm not living that way. I'm not saying I don't have bad days. I'm not saying I don't have bad weeks. But I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, I'll be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get up. Sometimes I'm like Adam when he said, this woman you gave me. I'm like, oh God, these children you gave me. But anyways, you know what I mean? I mean, but listen, when I realize what I'm doing, I get up. And I'm like, nope, I ain't going down like this. I am not going down like this. And I get up and I begin to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Listen, if you're not spending intimate time with Jesus on the daily, then there's no wonder if you don't have no peace, if you don't have no joy, if you don't have no rest. Because I want to get up in the morning and I want to sit at Jesus' feet. I want to get filled up. I want my bread for the day. So if you're not doing that, come on, give it a try. It'll work, I promise you. Woo, Joshua. Every place that the sole of your feet tread upon, I have given unto you. As I said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Let me tell you something, God's not going to fail us. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the, can you tell I'm reading now the King James? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt, right there, this book shall not depart out of your mouth. What are you saying? That's something else. What are you saying every day? We need to be really careful. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Oh, my children, they're always depressed. They ain't never coming out. All this stuff. No, no, no. My God sets the captives free. He brings them out of oppression. He gives them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You better get your scripture and begin to proclaim that instead of speaking death. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. He is with us also. And then I begin to think about the children of Israel. And in Hebrews 4:2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as them, talking about the ones in the children of Israel, but not being mixed with faith for them when they heard it. They did not mix the word that they heard with faith. And so therefore, they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. Let me tell you something. We have a whole book of words. We better be mixing faith with it. Because I don't know about you. I don't want to go around the same mountain for 40 years. Do you know you can die in this world never obtaining what is here? We have it. But listen, I don't want just when I go to heaven for everything to be great. Everything's not going to be great here, but we can live a prosperous life right here on earth. We can live a life that is that we don't have to be down all the time and beat down and all that stuff right here on earth. I don't want to wait till I go to heaven to be able to have peace and joy. I want it right now. Numbers 13:30, and this is when so he was talking about the children of Israel, that they did not mix faith with the word that they heard. And so that's Hebrews 4:2. I mean, Numbers 13:30, and this is when after the 12 spies had been sent out, and 10 spies came back and had a bad report. And you know what? It spread like a canker sore, like cancer, through the whole place, through the whole camp. But it says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Listen, we can possess it. We can do it, y'all. We can do it. We are well able. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Do we have the same spirit of faith that Caleb and Joshua had? Numbers 14:23 says, surely they will, this is the Lord, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Do you know that the Bible calls unbelief an evil heart? How many times have I found myself in unbelief and had to repent? Just unbelief, just utterly unbelief. God calls it an evil heart. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. 24, verse Numbers 14, 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and he and his seed shall possess it. I believe partially us fully following the Lord can affect our children. I really believe it can affect our children. If we're sitting around in unbelief and fear and worry and everything, listen, I believe it can affect, infect a whole generation. We've seen it in with the children of Israel. What time is it? Caleb wholeheartedly, through obedience, he obeyed God fully and was full of faith. Caleb stayed bold and full of faith, believing God would give them victory. He looked at obstacles through faith in God rather than focusing on how big the problem was. Joshua 14 said, and in Joshua 14, we see Caleb at 85 years old when they're dividing the inheritance. He tells them, I was 45 years old when you said I could have this mountain. It's 40 years later now. I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong now as I was when I was then. And he said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. He wanted his inheritance, and he said, give me this mountain. He said, I have wholly followed the Lord, and you said you would give this to me as inheritance. Now give it to me. I want it. And he was given it. The word of God is our inheritance. I've said it two or three times. I'll say it again. It's Jesus' last will and testament. We have to rise up, men and women of God. We need to be Caleb as Jesus was in this world. So are we. So are we. Everywhere the soles of our feet tread, we take for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Take it. We have to take it. We have to take it. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, God. Lord, whatever, anybody, if there's any of us here, God, that has been operating in unbelief and fear and afraid because of things that are going on in their life, maybe things that are going on with their family, I ask you right now, God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost, right now, God, let the fire of the Holy Ghost fill them up in the name of Jesus. I see people rising up in this end time army that says they that know their God will do great exploits. Ones that say, I'm not letting nothing hold me back. My children will serve the Lord. I don't care what's going on in my life. I'm not letting nothing hold me back. Nothing. God, right now, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's calling us up higher. God's calling us up to a higher place. He's calling us up to a place that we do not let anything in this earth distract us. I mean, I understand. Things hurt, but we can't let nothing stop us. We can't let nothing keep us from the mission that Jesus has for us. Nothing. God, we worship you. I thank you. Let's just all stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Jake, is that Jake back there? Is it possible to pull up a song? We Will Ride by Lindo Cooley. I've been on these Brownsville songs for weeks now because there's an anointing on them, and every time God gives me something, there's a song that goes with it. And as he plays this song, I want us to just focus on the Lord and say, God, we are part of this end-time army. We're not going to let nothing hold us back. Nothing is going to hold us back. Listen, if God's word says we're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover, we're going to lay hands on the sick and we're going to see them recover. If he says we're going to cast out demons, we're going to cast out demons. If he says we're going to raise the dead, we're going to raise the dead. If he says that we can have rest, we're going to have rest. If he says that we can have peace and joy, we're going to have peace and joy. Don't let your feelings drag you around everywhere. Listen, it'll mess you up. It'll mess us up every time. Listen, I think about this old Smith Wigglesworth. Y'all all heard about Smith Wigglesworth. They said that people would say, hey, how's Smith doing today? He said, I don't ask Smith how he's doing today. I tell him how he's going to do, how he's going to be. That's what we need to do. We need to get up in the morning. Listen, I picture angels. You know, the Bible says that angels hearken to the voice of God's word. And, you know, this is just my crazy thinking sometimes, but I think about angels, and they're probably like, we've got angels assigned to us, and they're like, oh, it's almost time for them to get up. They're going to speak God's word, and they're my assignment. I'm going to take off, and I'm going to, and then all of a sudden we get up, and we're like, oh, my goodness. And they're like, really? What? I mean, you know, not really, but, you know, that's just sometimes the way I think. Come on. Come on, you guys. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm not saying you're not. Let's just worship the Lord.
He has fire in his eyes.
Yes.
And a sword in his hand.
Yes, come on.
And he's riding a white horse.
Worship the Lord.
Across this
come
land.
Come on.
He has fire in his eyes.
Just repent if there's anywhere that you've been walking in unbelief and fear and just not taking God at his word.
This land.
If you want to come to the front, you can come to the front.
To you and me. You ride with me.
We will ride with you, Lord. We will ride in your army, Lord.
He has fire in his eyes and a sword.
Woo!
In his hand.
Thank you, Lord.
He's riding a white horse across this land. Calling out to you and me. Will you ride with me? Will you ride?
Yes, Lord.
We'll ride with you.
Thank you, Lord.
And we say yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Today's the day. Today's the day that whatever you've been dealing with, it falls to the ground in the name of Jesus.
The crown on his head, he carries a scepter in his hand. He's leading the army all across this land. You see that fire in his eyes? Is his love for his bride? And he's longing that she be with him, right by his side. Yes, that fire in his eyes is a burning desire that his bride be with him, right by his side. Can you hear him calling out to us right now?
Yes.
Sail away around with me. Lord, I know what I want my answer to be. When you say, will you ride with me? Don't want anything down here holding on to me.
Yeah.
When you say, will you ride
yeah.
with me?
Hallelujah.
Can you see that number no man can number? Riding alongside Jesus. But he's calling out to us right now, saying, will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord.
We say, yes, Lord.
We say yes, Lord. We'll just do it one more time. Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I think we ought to thank the Lord for this, don't you? Come on, put your hands together, fam. Thank you. My goodness. Woo. Oh, my goodness. Fire in his eyes. My goodness. The wonder and the joy of him. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask Pam to be down here. Some of you need ministry, want prayer. She's willing to pray for whomever as long as we need to. So thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you, Pam. Thank you. You stirred my heart, girl. Amen. Lift your hands. Then you can go, okay? Put your hand. Lord Jesus, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you incredible peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Pam is up here. If you'd like to be prayed for, her to lay hands on you, don't leave until you do in Jesus' name.